Welcome to In Between Sunday.
Have you ever experienced this? This is kind of a weird Sunday because we're like between. It's like Christmas was yesterday, sort of, and then it was a week ago, and then we've got New Year's coming up, and people are gone. People are off traveling someplace, and here we are. And it's kind of a weird Sunday to think about what to preach on, actually, because next Sunday we're starting a series out of the life of David. And so that's a good Sunday. It's the first Sunday of the year, start a new series, but then what do you do with today? And last Sunday we were talking about Christmas. So today is going to be a little bit different. So hang on to your seat belts. And if you don't have seat belts, grab the little straps and hang on. I would really like to share a little bit this morning, kind of more of a devotional than preaching. And then in a little bit we're going to sing some more, and we're going to be sharing God's stories and spending some time in prayer together. So kind of a neat way to finish off the year, thinking about what God's done in our lives over the last year and where He can be taking us, and we get to do that together. Cool on that? There's a few smiles over there. That's good. Okay, good. We're going to look this morning. I'd like to share with you from Psalm 100, pretty familiar psalm. Should be pretty familiar to you. We often hear it as a call to worship. Psalm 100 actually comes at the end of a group of eight psalms, starting with Psalm 93. And Psalm 93 begins, "The Lord reigns." Sets the tone for what's coming. And then Psalm 94 declares that even in the worst of things that we go through in life, God never leaves us. He is always there with us. The Lord has been my stronghold and my God, the rock of refuge. Psalm 95 says, "O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation." Psalm 96 says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth." Psalm 97, "The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice." Psalm 98, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done wonderful things." Psalm 99, "The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble." And all these wonderful psalms declare God's majesty and His dominion and His sovereign reign. And that finally brings us to Psalm 100, where we're encouraged to called to worship and to praise this wonderful God. So to get Psalm 100 fresh in our minds, I'd like to have you read this with me out loud. The words are coming up here on the overhead, and we'll get these in our minds, and then we'll come back and take a look at these. But read these with me, will you? "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations." Cool. Does that sound kind of familiar? A little bit? There are two parts to this psalm. The first one deals with who God is, and the second part focuses on what God does. So we're going to focus first on who God is. Let's say that together. Who God is. Okay. The psalm begins, "Shout joyfully to the earth, to the Lord. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth." Long ago, in a city far, far away, there was a school down the street from us that was run by a church that was on the opposite side of town. So the school was on one side of town, right? And the office, the people that are responsible for the school, are on the other side of town. You got that? Okay, so once a year, the church that was on the other side of town would have a festival at the school that was on our side of town, just down the street from us. And they would have food, they'd have stuff to buy, they would have dancing, live music. It was very festive, it was very fun, and it was very loud. Okay, it was really loud. All right. Until really late at night, it was really, really loud. So the people that lived in the apartment houses across the street from the school and across from where our church was located, since both the school and the church were kind of the same ethnicity, they naturally made an association there, and they thought that we were all part of the same organization, which meant that while this festival was going on at the school, we at the church would get these phone calls really late at night, very angry. Messages left on our answering machine with words that I would not want to repeat, all right? But things like, you are too blank loud, and you're bothering the people around you, and if you don't tone it down, I'm going to call the police. You guys are beep, right? So imagine what that would be like here at Creekside. You guys are worshiping too loud. Tone it down, all right? I'm calling the police. Imagine people calling here from the apartments across the street there. That's the idea behind shout joyfully to the Lord. There are times when we need to meditate and we need to be still and we need to know that He is God. But this is not one of them. Okay? We're talking about a loud and an uninhibited worship that boldly declares who God is. God is worthy of that kind of worship. And the psalm goes on. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. And some translations put this, worship the Lord with gladness. It's the same idea. The idea in Hebrew has the idea of worshiping that physically moves us. Right? You all been to football games. Okay? Football games, by the way, we saw the Nutcracker last night. Saw a DVD of it. Okay, if you go to a football game, it's a different crowd than a ballet audience. Right? Okay, there's a little bit of a difference there, all right? Okay, football crowds, they are intensely different. There's an intensity, there's an enthusiasm, it's all focused on what's happening on the field, and probably unlike the ballet, okay? Football crowds will just, they'll jump out of their seats, and they'll be screaming and yelling at the top of their voices, loudly showing their support for the team, right? Never been to a ballet where they did that, so I assume there's a difference, right? Okay, worship of God should bring us out of our seats. Singing and praying and body language that expresses what goes on in our hearts. Joy, gladness, taking pleasure in who God is. And then he says, come before him with joyful singing, joyfully. Sunday is a day of rest. Right? Generally. Sometimes being here is the one time of the week where we get to shut down. Right? Years ago, I remember there was a man who was sitting, different church, sorry, different, sitting just about where Albert is, okay? Right about there. And he did one of these. Right in the middle of the sermon. It was interesting, okay? This is a sanctuary, okay? These teal-colored chairs are pretty cushy and comfortable, right? Temperature is just about right. It's understandable. People nod off, right? Sometimes it is. It's hard to get enthusiastic about worship. So we need to be honest about that. There are a lot of other things going on in our lives. A lot of things floating through our minds. You ever have things floating through your minds while you're sitting out there? Be honest, okay? What we went through just to get here this morning, or what we've gone through this last week. We can come to the end of the week and think to ourselves, man, let somebody else shout joyfully to the Lord. I'm just doing good to be here. Shout joyfully to the Lord. Our motivation. Notice verse 3. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Lord, it's the Hebrew word Yahweh, which describes the God as the one and only true God who has always been, always is, always will be. The God who is absolute, unchangeable, holy, sovereign, responsibility and authority over everything. And in worship, we need to know that down at the heart level, that this is the God who is worthy of worship. And then this, Yahweh describes the God who chose Israel. Yahweh chose Israel out of all the peoples of the earth to make them to be His people. And God, Yahweh, saved them from bondage in Egypt. He covenanted with them at Mount Sinai. He led them through 40 years in the wilderness. He gave them the land that He promised them. So these are His people. They were chosen by God to be His sheep in His pasture. And they can't take credit for that. It's a God thing. God did it. Sometimes we use words like, well, this is our church or our congregation or our ministry, which in a sense is true. It's great to belong, to be a part of a congregation like this. But sometimes when we come to worship, we get distracted by ourselves, our attitudes and expectations. And if we're focused on ourselves, it's no wonder we doze off. Think about that. We need to hold on to it at the heart level, the awesomeness of who God is. That all this, all of creation is about Him. And that the church, who we are in Jesus, is what the sovereign God has created by His gracious and loving work in Jesus. And we, each one of us, we get to know the sovereign Almighty God of creation personally. We get to know His presence in our lives, His forgiveness and His healing and His peace to live out His purpose for our lives because He has chosen to make us His. Just ponder. Ponder all that God has done for you. God gives us a glimpse of who He is. He allows us to know Him. We get to worship Him because He chooses to allow us to do so. And when we think about it, that is absolutely astounding. Now let the astounding reality, let that astounding reality be at the forefront of our thought process, our attitude, our motivation in getting up on Sunday morning and coming to worship God. Shout joyfully because God is God and we are His sheep. Psalm 100 says that we shout to the Lord, we serve the Lord, we come before Him. The focus is not on us, but on God, on who He is. And the second part of Psalm 100 focuses on what God does. Let's say that together. What God does. Verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. Several years ago, I was in the Soviet Union. That dates me a little bit, doesn't it? And back in the days before communism fell back in the Soviet Union, and I had the opportunity to attend services there of the quote-unquote underground church. And it was kind of weird. Someone would say, well, we're going to pick you up at such and such a time, such and such a place, be there. And so I would be there, and somebody would pull up in a car, we would get in, and we would drive. And I had no idea where they were taking us. We'd drive all over the place. Finally, we get to the place where their services are, different places. I assume they met in the same places on regular basis, but when I was there, we always met in someplace different. One time we met in the cemetery, which was kind of weird. All these people crowded around the cemetery. One time we were out in this forest in the middle of nowhere by the Turkish border. What did that church, what are those people, what do they have to be thankful for? You know, think about this. You know, they're running around and hiding the secrecy, the oppression, the persecution, the regime that was against them. And yet hundreds of people would come to these meetings to give thanks and to praise God, to bless His name. How many of you have heard of the Voice of the Martyrs, right? How many of you have heard of Voice of the Martyrs? Yeah, every month I get one of their newsletters. And month after month, there's account after account of brothers and sisters in Jesus who today they're suffering and they're dying simply because they refuse to deny Jesus. They're following Jesus. Our siblings in Jesus who continue to give thanks to God. You know, and I don't know what circumstances you're in at work or maybe at home. As we talk, you know, as we spend time together through the week, I get a little bit of a sense of that. What we go through may not be as extreme as the persecuted church, but it's real. And sometimes this idea of, well, coming in and giving thanks to God, thanksgiving is not the first thing in our mind, but Psalm 100 says, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Why? Look at verse 5. Why? Why enter His gates with thanksgiving? For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and His faithfulness to all generations. Think about what that means. What does that mean? Whatever we go through in life, God is good. We know God is good. God takes care of His own. He sustains, He preserves us, He renews us and refreshes us. He leads us through life gently and carefully. Even in suffering and death, we're not alone. God's loving kindness is everlasting. That means that His love is personal. His loving us is rooted in an intimate knowledge of who we are and our specific needs and concerns. His love is sacrificial, whatever the cost, even to the point of his own suffering and death. And he never runs out of it. We can never exhaust God's love for us. God is faithful to all generations. That means that the promises he makes in the Bible don't come with a warranty period. Right? They don't expire on a certain date. Usually the day after, or the day before. Yeah, the day before you need it. Right? You ever have that happen? Find the warranty for that thing? Darn, it was last week. God is always faithful. He is always absolutely dependable to do what he says that he will do. When I was in seminary, not too many years ago, I had the privilege of taking Hebrew from a guy by the name of Dr. Ronald Allen. And you probably know Dr. Allen's work because he was the senior editor of the Old Testament for the New King James Version. Ron Allen, good man. This man knows Hebrew. And I ran across a translation that he did of Psalm 23. And I just, as I was thinking about this, we are the sheep of his pasture, the whole shepherd thing came to mind. And so I thought I would share this with you this morning, Psalm 23. And think about, as you hear this, think about God and how he cares for the sheep of his pasture, each one of us, God's goodness, his loving kindness, God's faithfulness. Okay, here's Psalm 23. Yahweh is my shepherd. I do not lack. In verdant pastures, he causes me to lie down. By waters of quietness, he gently leads me. He refreshes my being. He leads me in well-worn paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I were to walk through the valley of deep darkness, I will not fear evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You arrange before me a table in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup is overflowing. Surely, goodness and loyal love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. God is sovereign, and yet he chooses us. He chooses you. God, by his actions towards us, deserves our thanksgiving, our praise, our worship, powerful reasons for sheep to shout with joy. Last Sunday, if you recall, we asked people, asked if you would just, on the back of your communication card, write down two songs of choice so that this Sunday we would sing those songs. Now, we had about 25 songs that came through, which was awesome, and we've kept a list of all those, by the way. We may get to them. One of them was the 12 Days of Christmas, by the way, which I thought was pretty cool. And then, of course, there's a new name written down in heaven. So we got to get banjos for that and get Catherine to play fiddle. We had to make a few choices on what these songs would be, but we took the top group, and we're going to sing through those. Those are songs of the heart, I think. You know, when you start asking people, what song do you like, what hymn do you like, people share, you start finding out there's music that people has touched, God has used to touch people's lives over the years. And so as we're singing these, let's let these words help our hearts to get in tune with God, his presence in our lives, who he is, what he's done for us. And then we're going to, as we can finish with singing, what we're going to do is we're going to have an opportunity to share some God stories. So be thinking as we're singing, think back over this year, see what God has done. We'll share those together, and then we're going to have an opportunity to be in prayer together and praising God for what he's done. We clear on that? Cool. Vinton, why don't you come up and Mike and Dave and lead us in some singing.